It's Monday, 1st of December 2014. This is HPR episode 1651, entitled HPR Community News for November 2014, and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 63 minutes long. Feedback can be sent to admin@hackerpublicradio.org or by leaving a comment on this episode. The summary is HPR Community News for November 2014.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Name is Ken Fallon. You're listening to another exciting episode here in Hacker Public Radio. It's Hacker Public Radio Community News for November 2014. And joining me tonight are
from Fred Morris. Who's top?
5150.
Thanks, and 50. Ken Fallon.
Dave Morris keeps interrupting everybody.
Hi, Dave. Can you welcome our new host, please?
Now you're asking.
While you're doing that, or at least preparing to do that, I will remind everybody that this is a regular show scheduled once a month where anybody can join. It's at 1800 UTC, and we talk about the stuff that's been going on in the community news. We go through the shows, read out the feedback, and we have some exciting stuff. It's been a very busy month on the mailing list, and I need your help, and I need your feedback. So if you could please listen to the remainder of the show, that would be super duper. So welcoming two new hosts this month. They are?
We have Pyrrhic and we have Al.
Al I could have managed.
Yeah, Pyrrhic has stumped me a bit as well.
Okay, we had HPR Community News for October 2014 was the last one that we reviewed. It's episode 1630. And I note that I haven't put in the days as yet. And there were no comments on that one. The following day, we had the second in the series. Note the series. If it's three shows, it can be a series. 5150 Shades of Beer, The Wichita Brewing Company, Part 2, by our good friend 5150.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That looks like a really nice... It's a very nice bottle of beer.
Oh, the growlers? Yes, those are fun.
Is that what that's called, the growler?
Yeah, that's what we... I think you guys call it something else in Europe, but they can't... they're not bottling the beer, and they're not selling it in the stores. Neither one of these brew pubs do, though I do think they both have aspirations to that effect. So the only way you can buy beer and take it home is take it in the growler, and it's... Yeah, probably best, since these are homebrewed beers, they do seem to build up some fermentation. So it's not like, some gases. So usually there's a little pressure in the bottle even a week later when you take, if you've been drinking out of it and take the top off. But probably it's, it took me longer since I had three of them and I was waiting to do... Until I had time to sit down and do the podcast, but it's probably best to consume in 2 or 3 days.
Gotcha. So for people who can't see the picture that was associated with, it's about, I guess, like a liter bottle, one of those Coca-Cola liter bottles, but it's shaped like a bottle with a handle on it atop. Going from the neck to the body of the glass. So that's a growler. I know a growler as being a fast taxi carriage from days of yore.
Can I, as from my days of brewing, I used to do wine brewing, and we used those, and we called them demijohns. Don't ask me why, but that's what we call them.
Well, they're exactly 64 ounces, so it's a typical six-pack of beer would be 72. So a little less than a six-pack, about a beer short. And it depends on the brew, and usually prices go up with the APV, with the alcohol content. I think the cheapest one I got was like $12 to have it filled. And of course, you got to pay $7 for the bottle in the first place, I think it was. But that's a one-time cost. And then I think they had some at the Old Town location, the River City Brewing Company. I think some of theirs would go as high as $20, $25. To have a growler filled. So, I mean, you're paying a premium, to bring home that, quality beer. And I would say on either place, all the beers I tried between the two of them and three trips total, I would say every one of their beers would be, Well, you wouldn't want to do it every day, but I think that for the quality, they were worth it. I think every one of the beers would stand up to be superior to most of anything that you could get off a store shelf around here.
Okay, let's move on, 50. While I am a big fan of your beer series, I do need to push on tonight because I don't have a lot of time. Okay, the following day we had episode 1633, Dan Lish, Fabian Churchill and Mark Johnson interview by Benny. This is one of the Odd Camp ones. He did a excellent series there for a first time host. What do you think, Dave?
Oh, he did a great job. Yeah, he was a very dynamic interviewer. He was out and about. He and Core Nominal were really covering some ground.
And
go on.
Well, on this, of course, Dan and Fab are from Linux Outlaws, and probably anybody hearing this already knows that they have made the decision to stop recording that show at the end of the year. So there's four episodes that they've planned that are left. They have both stated that Odd Camp, however, will go on, that they don't think it's no longer solely or even part, I guess, something that's supported by Ubuntu UK and Linux Outlaws. It's its own entity now. So they say they expect it to go on. But I know there's some people who used to listen to Linux Outlaws and they don't anymore, but if you ever were a fan or you just want to hear some funny stories, I'd say check out episode 365, You Weren't There Man, of Linux Outlaws, because it was just a whole comedy of errors with the hotel, I guess, trying to take advantage of them at every turn.
Okay, Dave, do you want to take the next one, please?
Just so I can say Pyrrhic.
Thank you.
Yes, 1634, How I Got Into Linux from Pyrrhic, his first HPR episode. And I thought he did a great job, an interesting journey into Linux he'd had.
And quite a good recording on the Sansa clip, I have to admit.
Yeah, it works really well. Quite surprising, actually, isn't it?
Yeah, I was, as I've said before, saved my skin a few times. So. Mm-hmm. Well done. Hope to hear more from him as time goes on. LibreOffice Calc, data manipulation, sorting, and autofilter. And I think I'd like to thank Ahuka and 5150 both for basically carrying this entire month. So, shall we move on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dave, you had an episode about how to make coffee, and this turns out to be a very big passion of a lot of people. We had some comments by Victor, who said it was a great episode, and the discussion went into about French presses. Belletti recently acquired a Belletti that was Expol Pat. Do you know what a Belletti is? 6-cup model mocha pot. Okay,
it's right. It's the thing I was talking about in my episode.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, I must have fallen asleep.
Thanks, Ken. It's good to know.
Didn't have enough coffee.
Not enough coffee. Yes. I know. I was too slow.
Well, I think we're all geeks, and we like it when people talk about technology, even if it's in a completely different area than our normal interest would be.
That's made me think of why there hasn't been a GNU World Order in a while. So, Kletu, get off your butt. Do some more shows. A man who likes coffee as well. Then, the following day, we had 5150 with Zuckerberg, Facebook, friends, and having a back. And I think this is probably one of the best arguments that I've ever heard for Facebook and the like.
Yeah, imagine me making a pro-Facebook argument. I don't think if you'd asked me 6 months ago, I would have told you were nuts.
Yeah, and again, I think you nailed it, that it's about the communities. Wherever the people gather, it's a community. So that's where people are gathering. So what do you do? Then we had Windigo with surviving a road trip. And in this case, he was talking about how to bring food and stuff around. And it is in this episode that I realized, again, this is between culture in the US versus road culture in Europe. But you made salient points all around, I thought.
Yeah, this was really interesting too. Unfortunately, my trips are either too short or too long where I have to get on an airplane.
Yeah, I know the feeling. But I actually wouldn't mind seeing more of those ones. Then we had one 1639 the following day, Ken Spark. And I must say, I was nearly in tears listening to this. Builds computers for kids who need a helping hand, basically. Thanks to Ahuka for recording that at the Ohio Linux Fest. And very, very, very good show. And it's a very good project. If you can throw Ken some shekels, then please do so.
And for people who want to hear some more from Ken, Ken Starks is going to be our guest this coming Friday evening on the Linux Slugcast, which you can find at thelinuxslugcast.com.
And am I right in saying he has a crowdfunding project going just now? I haven't got a note of where it's at. Am I right about that?
I don't know, but if he has, we should put it into the show notes.
Yeah, I'll check, let you know.
Okay, the following day we had continuing symmetric versus asymmetric encryption. And this was Ahuka making all sorts of complicated things very, very simple, which is what the man seems to be gifted at doing. And our thanks for that. And yes, again, I thought, and I'm familiar with the topics, he has a way of explaining it that I think, yeah, the next time I need to explain it, I will use that as a resource.
Now, the next one. Good episode, that one. Very good episode, that one. I enjoyed that a lot.
There were actually a few comments on that as well by Johan V. And he's thanking Kevin for that episode. The next day, listened to On the Bus, Johan V. Didn't know he was a fellow Dutchman, although, well, fellow Dutch resident. And real reasons for using Linux. And he nailed it 100%. Could not in any way disagree with any of his arguments on this.
No, I've done the same thing that he was saying that you shouldn't do, done that in the past, and his points about why you shouldn't make those bad points are very, very well taken, I think. And I particularly loved his full transcript on his website, by the way. That was brilliant.
Yeah, it's always good to have good show notes. So yes, indeed. But I like this episode, and I've been, I don't know, I think a lot of people become enthusiastic and forget to look at the, you know, start seeing the world, start seeing your pet project, whatever it is, through rose tinted glasses. So it's good to get a grounding. Okay, then we had Al and Jerry, first time at Og Camp, and I liked this because it's just laid back, two guys talking about an experience they had, and it was like as if, you know, you were just you're just at the pub and going up and getting a pint and coming back down and joining the conversation. And it was a good, really nice, chilled episode.
And it's probably good to point out that everybody who's been to a conference has some kind of story like this. And, well, if you've got a great story, what better place to bring your stories to than Hacker Public Radio?
Hey, exactly. And there was a comment on that, not necessarily about the episode itself, but the Mary TTS clipping, which I will talk about later on. And then we had 5150 doing unison syncing utility. Again, as I said, carrying the network this month. We were quite low on shows, and Ahuka and 5150 just stepped up and filled those vacancies for us. And you have to remember that we are a sieve here. We drain through episodes. Lots of episodes come in and lots of episodes go out, which is why I don't like the, you know, the call for shows and everybody going mad making shows. It's far better if people are regularly sending us in shows. That is what we like to see here. With regard to your episode 50, I love Unison, but in the last recent version on both Fedora and Ubuntu, there is a bug that if you're using any other code page other than keyboard layout, other than US English, any other locale other than US English, the program will fail and will core dump. So not very good. Bugs opened about it. They seem to be aware about it, and nobody is fixing them.
Yeah, that's sad if they're just thinking, because that would seem like a rather major bug to me. And if their thinking is, well, we aren't necessarily concerned that people outside the United States can't access our software, then, and I'm not saying that's necessarily what's going on, but that would seem to be somebody would need, if that were true, somebody needs a huge attitude change.
No, I doubt it. I just, maybe it's a complicated bug, but it's been there for a while now, about a year or so, I guess. And so I've ended up having to use rsyncs and stuff, and then you end up with two different versions of, you know, having to. The beauty of Unison is that, you know, it does the merge for you, as you said yourself. You made very good points. And rsync, while it's got its own advantages, especially for one-way syncing. So if you're saving everything on a network share and you want to, you know, get a backup of it, then rsync is the way to go there, I guess. But okay. Anyway, there were two comments about that episode. One by F10E. What sort of number would that be? A big one. And he is talking, he or she indeed, is talking about that there is a text console version for Unison. Frank says that there's you don't need a GUI installed, and there are more flexible ways that can be synced to address your problem. He uses the following trick. So you can continue on, and it goes into details about regexes that you can use. Have you had a chance to use those, 50?
No, I hadn't checked back to see if there were any comments on on this particular episode. But yeah, that's great. Because of course if you can work something out with a script, that's a lot more efficient than calling on the GUI. It'd be interesting to see if there's any way. Because my monitor configuration utility, and I can't look for it same time I'm holding down a key, but I found that after using it, all it does is write a shell script. for you. So instead of getting in that utility every time, you could just copy the shell script in and have it auto run. And I'm wondering if there isn't some place in there that you could use the GUI to create your script once, and then thereafter, instead of getting into the GUI, run it as an automated procedure.
Yeah, but these guys are saying that you don't need a GUI installed, and that was, I always thought it was the case that you could, because I have run it without a GUI. With a GUI is a lot easier for setting it up, and then you can run it afterwards without a GUI. But Frank also mentions as well that you can solve the different directory names problems by using symbolic links. And he has also in there about how to do the regex so that you can do simply match any characters with not with a slash. So I would strongly suggest you look up that. And if you be or on Hacker Public Radio, that's the R for radio, or actually R for Romeo, then you will get to the syndication page where you can get all the links for the RSS feeds for the comments and the main shows. Anyway, we better move on. 1644 was opensources.com newscast roundtable. Very nice. Very nice episodes. And I like the discussion. They give a short rundown of the articles, to discuss the articles, and to discuss the feed from the articles. So really kind of a bit like this show, actually, only discussing another website.
Yeah, I want to thank Semiotic Robotic for those, because I've really been enjoying them.
Then we had episode 42, believe it or not, in the LibreOffice Calc or LibreOffice series, Calc Data Manipulation 2, Standard and Advanced Filters. If you don't know how to do this sort of stuff, this is a very good episode to find out how. Even I find it with Sedok and Grep and all that stuff at a particular point in time, especially when there are other people around who want to help you out, pipe stuff into a comma-separated file, bring it into LibreOffice and run some filters like this, and it's really, really invaluable. So, good episode there. And the following day, we had It Became a Series, 50. It Became a Series.
Huh? Yep.
Ooh, that looks... There's a picture in here, folks, of three growlers, and they are looking very, very nice.
That's the way to do it. The first, well, I mentioned in the first broadcast, I didn't figure I'd get back to Wichita for 6 months, so I bought three growlers and left two of them with my host at the beer party I went to. And this time, I got into halfway to Wichita and realized I had forgotten my one growler, and I just said, well, we'll just, I know I got to come back another time, so we'll just buy two more. And so I had to get through those in the weekend.
So you had to go back.
Yeah, I had. Well, and then I had to do the podcast, you know, and then I had to get them empty so I could come back with empty jugs. And for people not seeing the picture, I describe them. They look a lot like maybe a smaller version of an old moonshine jug.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One thing, though, 50, I have to tell you, do never drink and drive, folks.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Okay, very good. And there was something else. Yes, I need to do this as well. I need to, because there's actually a lot of good beers around here, and I'll open one or two, and now I have an excuse for recording it. Although I must say I don't have the terminology and the verbology, so it won't be as technical as your ones. It'll be... This is a good beer. I like it.
Well, I'm sort of stumbling through that. I mean, if this was Holster doing it, you know, who does brew his own beer, he could do a much better job of both describing the beer and how they were made than I ever possibly could.
I wonder, could you get him to put together a show for us to so that we could know how to describe the beers, you know, what we should comment for this series, you know, so that, okay, I've got a beer. What would you like to know about it? The history of the beer, where it comes from, what the percentage is, tastes like, what it smells like, that sort of thing. that, you know, like a little checklist that we could add to this episode. You know, this, if you're doing a episode in 5150 Shades of Beer, then, you know, answer all the questions on this sheet.
Well, that's a great idea. I'll ask him if he can do that. I'm sure he'd also like to come back. I think he did one episode, but he's made a lot of progress with his fish hatchery and vegetable growing operation.
Yeah, I'd love to hear about that as well. So get him on and record a few shows about those. No pressure, obviously.
I really agree, actually, just to interject, because I've been watching his YouTube channel on and off about his... it's the setup he's got there, and I'd love to hear a follow-up to his original show about this.
Okay, the next one was, well, another show that I hosted, but my involvement was pretty much, as far as recording, was took up a mic to my laptop and pointed at the room where we were cooking the Saturday night meal after we'd been to Knoebel's theme park. At Oddcast Planet Live, and this is one of a couple. Well, actually, there will be a third one, but I've got to, we lost the audio on it, so I've got to re-record everything from scratch. But to go along with some of the pictures that we took when we visited, it's essentially the town that Silent Hill was based on, the basic idea for the movie. It's an underground fire, and they had to underground coal fire, and eventually they had to buy up all the property and destroy the town. But I'm getting way off topic. That one's coming sometime. But this was, we were we'd come back from the theme park, and Broman Briptastic got all the fixings to make dinner, and I just pointed a mic in there, and what you hear is what went on as we were cooking and talking about what we had done and what we were going to do. And I'm going to add the recipe to the, I should have had it in there by now. Brome sent me the recipe, so by the end of the day I'll have that added as a comment on that show.
It was great. I enjoyed that a lot, 50. It was, I like that sort of thing, just sort of hearing people doing stuff and talking. Particularly appreciate the photos, by the way. I love to see an episode with photographs.
Yeah, I just snapped a few quick ones when I had a chance. Most of the time, my hands were covered with flour and stuff during making that.
Cool. Looks like we've lost Ken for the moment, so we'll maybe just progress in his absence. Slightly embarrassed, the next show is one of mine, 1648 Bash Parameter Manipulation. I sort of went on at quite a great length about stuff to do with writing Bash scripts. I thought maybe I'd gone over the top a bit, but I've had a couple of comments on it, which has been nice to receive, so I guess it's hit the spot for a few people.
Oh yeah, I was very interested in that one. The main thing, though, that's one of those topics you can't. I was listening to it while I was doing something else and not at the computer. That's one of those that you really to get the best part of that, you need to sit down at the computer and work those examples along with you.
Yeah, I know. I know that Klaatu does this, you know, reading out code and stuff. And there's times I've had to go back and re-listen to the show because, you know, you just can't pick it up. If you're doing the washing up or whatever, feeding the cat or something, it's really hard to follow along, isn't it? I did do some quite lengthy show notes to go along with it, so I hope that people will be able to get the gist of it and go back and pick up the thread later on if they were interested. But yeah, it's difficult. This sort of podcast is hard to do this type of thing. You know, it would be nice if we had people doing podcasts on programming in general, but you know, it's maybe not the best way of doing it.
He's back.
We just I'm just doing my bash parameter manipulation show. Apologizing for its length and complexity.
No, I loved that episode. I was thinking, hey, Dave just knows Perl, and then all of a sudden turns out you're a bash dude as well. Very good.
Yeah, bash is fun. Good, I'm glad people liked it.
I did use the show notes were brilliant. They really helped.
I was just saying to 50, you can't really do this sort of stuff without something written to look at, either in real time or after the event. So I tried to write something you could read through and pick up the stuff afterwards. So hopefully it did that.
Yeah, which is exactly why we put the text-to-speech thing at the beginning, because people have asked for to know what type of episode it's going to be. If it's a, you know, chit-chatty people around the fire one, then you can listen along if you're driving. But, you know, this is the sort of one, it's okay if you're on the train, but you're not going to be able to listen to it. There's, you know, washing the dishes, you're going to need to have a reference to it. So that's the point. So the following day, there was Raspberry Pi accessibility breakthrough, and this was amazing. Well done. This is Mike Ray. Got Raspberry Pi audio text-to-speech in the console working.
Very, very cool stuff. Mike is really a cool dude.
He is indeed. A lot of comments on this episode. Steve Bickle, another hero of the HPR community. He is the guy who put together, I put a few months ago, the call out for, after the interview with Mary, he put together front-end wrapper for Java, which has been, you know, he's documented, put it up in GitHub. It's available on the GPL, same license as the Mary TTS, and those guys have requested him to put it up so that they can pull the code back into their thing. Works very, very well from my point of view, but we'll get into more discussions about Mike Ray, about the comments that Mike and others have made about the text-to-speech. So, yeah, a lot of guys very impressed with that. Tony Wood as well, also very impressed, as I think everybody is.
Well, just amazing when a member of the community can just take something, you know, that used to work and there's a bug in the audio drivers that has not been addressed apparently, and comes at it from a totally different direction and probably makes it work better. Though, since he's running it through the graphics adapter, it probably wouldn't work if you're trying to do something like gaming, I would think. I mean, for a sighted person, if you're trying to, because you're probably going to tax the adapter. But I didn't even realize there was a text-to-speech problem with the Pi. See, I just got one in the mail about 2 weeks ago. It's sitting there in my IRC window. But I, ever since this silly Amazon Echo tube thing has come out on the market, I've been thinking, surely Brie knows this is essentially Siri in a tube, or, well, I should say Google Now, anything like that, where you can just walk by and say, you know, what's the biggest city in Bolivia or something like that, and it'll supposedly find it out there on the internet. And I was thinking, well, if you could tie the Raspberry Pi in a similar sort of database, and I guess in the desktop browser for Chrome, you can actually do this sort of thing as well. So, I was thinking it'd be a great little build to see just how cheaply you could get a Raspberry Pi and replicate this $200 device that Amazon is selling to the rubes.
Yeah, I had the very same thing, that I'd like my Raspberry Pi to boot up with, just a simple menu script that, you know, that you could plug in a number pad 1 to 10, you know, a 1 to 0 number pad. You know, 1 is, are there any train delays? 2 is, what time is it? 3 is something, you know. And it just talks back, there are no train delays, there's a train delay or whatever, you know. that I can think the number of the necessity to run a Raspberry Pi with a monitor is not I can think of a lot of use cases not to use that, as you say yourself. And in addition, I think his point is very valid. If it doesn't have a if you can't get text to speech in the terminal, then it isn't a device that's that is accessible. I don't think. I would tend to agree with him there.
And again, completely non sequitur, but when you said you wanted a 10-key layout, I think if you really want it to be neat, go over to Jezra's website, and he did that thing years ago where he's using an old rotary phone as an input device.
So cool.
Yes, you could pick up the handset, dial your selection, and have it all. Yeah. So that'd be neat.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. If I ever make it to the States again, his house is on top of my list of cool places to go. Okay, the last episode for this month, I must say, achieved a dream of mine, which was to get to spend the night with 5150. Yes, 50. I believe you are pushing the shows of interest to hackers to the limit here on this one.
Well, if I remember correctly, you could probably blame Brome. Again, this was from Oddcast Planet Live from last May. And since there really isn't any... Islesburg is a very small town. And so we decided to rent a house together over the weekend. There's places out there that'll do that. What we ran into, anything in town, since we're going on Memorial Day weekend, so of course we'd have more time off from work, is that when I started calling places, we found out pretty quick, yeah, we rent our house out on the weekends, but you know, anything that's a holiday, like Memorial Day weekend or 4th of July, it's we always rent it to the same people every year. So you're never going to be able to get in on that. So we found a place, farm about 3 miles out of town, and I don't think they're originally built intended for bed and breakfast. I'd say it was a generational farm that at one time had five or so families living out there, and apparently situation has changed, so there's just one guy out there. But we rented a house. It was two stories, and from previous experience, everybody knew a tankinator snored. Well, his wife knew that, and from last year, because 330 and Pegwall talked about it all the time, they know I have a problem with snoring. So they said, "You guys are going to live down in the living room on the first floor, where you won't keep the rest of us awake all night, and we're all going to have the nice rooms and the nice beds upstairs." Now that was fine. I was on a couch. It was comfortable. So Brome, sometime during Saturday said, you guys ought to set up a mic and just record yourself snoring all night and make that an HPR.
Yes. Boss. Yes. Fair enough. Well, the town actually sounded quite interesting. An ongoing fire underneath in the coal mines. That's always pretty cool.
Yeah, that's Centralia, but now that I wasn't trying to think of it, I could remember it. Yeah, and there will be an upcoming episode on, and I'll be able to, since I'm doing research on Wikipedia and stuff, I'll be able to tell you more about history of the town than if I had just recorded our running conversation between me and Brome and Mr. Jackson as we walked around. I mean, Brome's been there several times, and I really, really wish I'd caught that audio, but it just didn't work out.
Okay. There have been a few more comments on past episodes. They're on an episode, Bare Metal Programming on the Raspberry Pi, which you'll remember was Gabrielle Evenfire's series, I guess, on basically building your own OS for the Raspberry Pi. We had Mike Ray commented, and and had some discussions about password protected PDFs for some reason. So
I think one of the files that were linked from the episode turned out to have a password on them. That was my understanding.
There's instructions in there on how to get past that. Then there was also another comment by Alison
Chaikin.
Thank you. Sorry for butchering people's names. That is my job here. Who enjoyed listening to the show, and we will expect a show from her in the next year under the "you owe me a show" rule. Then we had a comment on the NY Bills. Don't forget about refurbing at Lenovo. Pokey and Charleston and Jay liked the episode, obviously, and some of them feel like doing something similar. And there was a discussion between Mike Ray and Steve Bickle about Miri TTS, which we'll probably get to as well now as we go through the news from the mailing list. Sometimes we have nothing on the mailing list, and more times we have lots and lots on the mailing list. This month started off with a Mailbird is a new mail application, and they were sending me what I considered to be spam. I forwarded it to the mailing list and contacted them not to send me any more, and they said no, it wasn't spam, it was promotional emails. Okay, fair enough. Then we had the continued discussion about why there is no HPR torrent yet by Bert. We had the discussion why there's no HPR torrent by Bert. Yerke was given a comment on that. Klaatu chimed in and asking where DeepGeek had gone with the project. Mike DuPont made the point that it is available on archive.org, that you can get the torrents from there. And there are various different places where that you can get a torrent from. And Corbett too was running the tracker and basically got on to say that he's busy with life at the moment and will get back to it ASAP, or whenever he's available, in 3 to 6 weeks, to be more precise. We had a discussion then about the New Year show, and there was a question about that as to whether we should continue with the New Year show or not, was my question.
Yeah, and I think you got a rather forceful yes from me, so that means I'm going to do what I can, volunteer where I can to get stuff organized for the show, and I got to start on that, and so hopefully I can get back into that this week. I'd like to have some forms built up so we know ahead of time that who's going to be moderating what hours of the show and who's going to be recording it. Of course, we want to have more, and I want the people who volunteer to edit the show to, of course, record their portion locally. So we aren't
okay. But the editing I'll do, because that needs to be posted by me.
Anyway, oh, okay. I didn't realize
the best
that.
Thing that we can do. What I'm trying to do is make it as easy as possible, which is why later on I'm asking people about headless servers. At this stage, I'd like Kevin Wisher to get ready his setup that he did last year as a backup plan, because I'm not having that amazing amount of luck doing what I'm trying to do. But if failing that, we'll come up with some sort of backup plan or stream it somewhere or other. We'll figure it out. And this whole topic is one of the ones that proves that I don't always get my way on this network. So, but we will go ahead with it. What I am concerned about is the lack of publicity of this event, because my concerns with the show was that for the amount of time and effort that everybody puts into it, we don't as HPR get a lot out of it other than a week of shows. But if we had everybody make a New Year's resolution and record a show, then we would have 100 shows as opposed to just 8, going on the fact that there was 100 people listening to it. So that was my concern, as well as the fact that New Year is a family celebration here in the Netherlands, probably more than in other places where you've got Thanksgiving and other religious festivals going on. New Year tends to be quite a big thing here. But we are going ahead with it, absolutely. The website is up. You probably can see the countdown clock on the main page of HPR as we speak. The page, there's a show notes page up with the time zones and stuff in it now. I'm kind of busy with work right at this moment. But when that gets sorted, I will be devoting some time to getting the server infrastructure ready. And what I'd like people to do is go to the link in the show notes to the pages. And if you are willing to do to lead the, what did you call it there, 5150? Take a segment and be the show master.
Moderator, host.
Moderator, that's fine. If you want to be the moderator, kind of put in at a particular time zone when you're going to be and what the topic for the hour will be or the time zone change. The time zones can be 15 minutes, half an hour, or an hour. So I was thinking of doing that, actually. I have two topics that came to mind today that I didn't really want to write, to do a particular episode on, but the New Year show seems like a good time to talk about them. Does anyone know if our promo has been played anywhere?
Well, they talked about it before Tilts, but then I got a phone call, so I don't know. I assume they played it.
I haven't heard this week's Tilt, but there you go. I haven't heard it anywhere else, I must say.
And those of us who are hosts on other podcasts can definitely talk about it. And those of us who are not hosts on other podcasts can certainly contact a podcast and ask to come on briefly and tell what the New Year show is all about, because it's that way it's a lot harder for them to ignore you rather than they just get a wave file by mail.
Yeah, exactly. And the whole point of this show is not that it's a HPR event. Well, it is, yeah. But what we want to do is reach out to everybody. And I have a New Year's is kind of unique in that everybody in the world is more or less off. There's a lot of people not at work on that day. So that means that people are available just to drop in. And if you've got a podcast and you don't want the hassle of setting up your server and everything and talking to your community on that day, it's just a really handy way to come in for 5 minutes and go, hey, HPR community, how are you doing? Hello to all my people and Happy New Year. Basically, that's what it's about. And it's about, from my view of the thing, is it's an easy way to get people on so that people can connect and say, well, I can join Mumble and I can talk and there my first show is over. So now I can record a show. Basically, I want to get more people involved in podcasting, whether that happens to be listening to other shows, whether that is recording shows for HPR, whether that is setting up your own shows. The whole purpose of HPR is to spread knowledge among the hackers, going back to Twat Tech, going back to Infonomicon, going back to Bin Rev Radio, and going back to the parent of them all, Radio Freak America. The whole point was hackers and freakers, rather than keeping the cool stuff to themselves, that we would share the knowledge. And that's what this is all about. So that's why on HPR we will promote other shows. We're not precious about that. If people are starting other shows, we will give them support. We will even give them bandwidth, give them hosting, and all the better if they start their own show and move off HPR. I'm absolutely fine with that. That is the whole point. Are you listening or have you gone?
No, I'm still here.
Okay. Sorry, that was a bit of a rant, folks. Anyway, the next audio book club from Mr. Patrick Daly is a public domain book from LibriVox.org, and it's by E.E. Doc Smith. And it's read by Phil Schenevert. And the show will be recorded on 2014-12-09 at 2300 hours UTC. That's and December the 9th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can listen to the audiobook. There's links in the mail. Then we moved on to a big discussion about the HPR theme question. And it started with Trent and Matthews, who's known as Sunlight Online, is a blind Linux user and would like to do GNU and a blind and visually impaired show. And of course, that is what we would like to do. We would like to hear that. He has recommended, I've recommended that he does a show about once every 2 weeks, because that is kind of a nice balance. So let's bring it on. Then he asked, it brought forward a lot about a few questions about the theme. And basically, I think, well, I sent around a summary. Just let me find that for you.
Well, there have been a couple users on there who, you know, I think especially if it's a short show, they'd like us to get on with the meat of the show. And apparently they're having some questions about, well, you get the theme all done, then you have the robotic voice announcing who's the host and when it was recorded and what it's going to be about. Then, and they have some problems with the voice as well, but say it's a minute and a half before we actually start hearing a podcast. So I can see their points, but I really love the HPR theme, and I do see that for the people who don't listen to every show, having the preamble telling them what they can expect to hear so that they can hit the next button on their audio device. It is, for some people, that would be of great value.
Yeah, the whole point, I'll just give you a rundown of what actually comes, what it is. There's the synopsis, which is it is the date, this is the show number, it's entitled, and whatever, and it gives you the length of time and stuff. So it was spoken about by Mike Ray and Trenton, I think, largely, both of whom are blind users. And I can understand their annoyance and frustration with the intro and outro theme, largely because it's like those of us who want to have a KDE desktop and suddenly there's a quote-unquote ugly GNOME application running in the middle of it, or vice versa, you're running a GNOME desktop and then suddenly an ugly KDE thing comes up. I can totally get why having a tech engine that you don't like, that is not the voice that you like, speaking on your show, how that would really, really, really annoy you a lot. I do get that. There's more. That isn't really why it was there. It is part of why it was there. The main reason for why it's there is, well, it's manifold. We get asked, HPR has a lot of shows. How do I know what show's coming up? And then I listen to everything, and then I don't know what's going to be about. So if you will bear with me, I will read back my feedback on the discussion that was going to and fro. And the first point to make is that the text-to-speech, the synopsis thing, Mike and the text-to-speech thing, the voices were experimenting with them. We're going sorry, I got a phone call. I have to take it as work. 1 second. So the whole point of the text-to-speech engine bit, we will get a better text-to-speech engine. If that's eSpeak, if that's Mary TTS, if it's something else, I really don't care. The voices, we're trying various different amounts of them. So long as I can put it into Aid and generate the text that I need to generate, that's all I'm really concerned about. I will say that Mike has made the point that the standard eSpeak voice is fine. Yes, it is. I use it all the time, but other people find it horrible. That's basically a simple fact. But we will keep that one aside. What I wanted to know was, should we do various different things with the intros and outros? So we have the the people who have complained is that it's too long. So I'll just read it out. I include in the calculations below, but the length before the episode proper is 1 minute and 20. For those served from hackerrepublicradio.org and 1 minute 16 seconds for those served from archive.org. So just there, we do introduce different they're not advertisements, they are sponsor mentions. So we do include those at the beginning as a way of thank you to the hosting providers. So I will continue on. So that is an increase of 43 seconds or 37 seconds, respectively. For your information, the outro is about a minute long. If we take out the date and contact information from the synopsis, then it's reduced to about 16 seconds in this case of the episode that I was using, which reduces the total to about 1 minute and 13 seconds. So that's 13 minutes longer, or 1 minute 7 seconds. That's 7 seconds longer than the current, than the original intro. We could move the sponsor mention to the end of the show, and that would reduce the intro down to 55 seconds. And we could probably reduce it to the length of the intro, which is 39 seconds, by having the synopsis overlay the intro music. So it would be da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then the text-to-speech would say, hello, this is episode blah-blah-blah, hosted by archive.org or anhonesthost.com. Today's show is Dave Morris, and it's entitled Coffee, blah, 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 and it's part of the series, blah, 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 and it's about so many minutes long. The reason that text is there is because that is the stuff that people have asked me for to put it in there. I want to know how long it is, I want to know what it's about, and who it's from, because the people who are listening to this show knows that if it's going to be a technical episode by this person, I want to listen to it. If it's going to be Ken waffling on, then you know, there's nothing of substance there. You can listen to it while you're driving a car, or delete it, or whatever. So that was it. The only thing about doing the intro like that, which I think we can probably do automatically, is one, get technically how to do it, which is something we can probably do. But secondly, it would mean that people would not be able to add the HPR intro to their own shows. Or if they do, it will be like the HPR intro with the text speech and then another HPR intro. So, and I don't know if people, there was also no clear discussion about whether we move away from the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da HPR theme to something else. That was, that didn't seem to get any support whatsoever. But if you have feedback, you as a listener of HPR, on the intros and the outros and all that sort of stuff, then please feel free to join the discussion.
Would there be any way to randomize the intro from those that are there on the website, the various variations of the da 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 da?
Well, the outros, we said we would do that, but when we had this discussion before, because this isn't the first time it comes up, when we had the discussion about changing the intro and outro music, my brother-in-law produced an intro and an outro for us, which was very nice of them, and they're licensed, available on the show. The discussion then was that the intro should be kept as the regular Slick Zero intro, like the one that we all know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and only that, and not, we were not allowed to use anything else. That was the agreement at the time. That agreement, again, is up for discussion. If people want to change the HPR theme, then now is the time to do it. However, note that there is significant branding associated with that. When people hear that tune, they know that's for 7 years of episodes. We have 7 years of episodes have been released. Actually, is it eight now? Years of episodes have been coming out. So it's a lot to throw away just because you decide you like some other music better. We've been running for 9 years, 1 month, and 22 days. Admittedly, not all that time as HPR.
No, I think I agree with you on the branding part. And by randomize, I meant with the I think there's our harmonica version and an accordion version.
Yeah, those can be randomized for the outro. That's not a problem. But yeah, we only have a few for a start, but we can do that. That's probably something that I can do quite easily. But not everybody sends up the shows with the without the intro and outro. So a lot of people send up the shows with the intro and outro already edited in, and at that point, there's nothing I can do about it. So we've been running 6 years, 11 months, and 5 days as HPR. We will be 7 years on the when we record the New Year's show, we will be 7 years running. So that's a long time for that theme. You know what I mean? Okay, as we do when we find new podcasts, we send them around to the list, and I found a new one, which was Blacks and Technology, and I have arranged a interview with these chaps. Corbatu sent in some comments about not, you know, questioning the need for splitting up groups and stuff. And my motivation for doing this episode was related to the Odd Campus thing that was on. So more discussions about that on a future episode. And we had a question from Mike Ray about whether Ahuka is going to be doing LibreOffice Calc or LibreOffice Base. And I know that I thought he mentioned that before, that he will be doing it, but would be good to hear back from him. More on the constructive criticism 51 about basically feedback. So I'm not going to go into all of those. I'm not going to go into all those discussions. It's still ongoing. I did have a question also about if people have experience running a headless server. Corbatu has gotten back to me, and Tlatu has as well. So I will be picking their brains on this as soon as I get a minute. I'm currently extremely busy with a release that needs to go up before our freeze. So that's about it, folks. I've lost you all.
No, we're just... what?
Hello?
Oh, just that wasn't technical. Just I couldn't think of what I wanted to say next.
Fair enough. I know what I need to say next, and that is tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of...
Hacker.
Public
Radio. Thanks very much, folks. Sorry for all the technical difficulties and delays in getting this show out. Thanks, guys. And Dave and 50, could you please upload your episodes to the FTP server? Cause mine broke in the middle.
Okay.
Will do.
Okay, I gotta go and do Santa Claus things here. Bye.
We're not gonna sing?
Oh, yeah. Join us now and
share the software. You'll be free. Hackers, you'll be free.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.